Our text today for exposition is verses 5 through 8. The title of today's message is To Be Spiritually Minded is Life in Peace. So the Apostle Paul is contrasting the spiritual mind and the carnal mind. The carnal mind is all that the unregenerate person has. By unregenerate, I mean a person that has not come to faith in Jesus Christ. That is the natural person. You only have what you were born with, and that is a nature that is bent away from God. And you do not know Him. But the spiritual person, the one who is in Christ, the one who has surrendered himself in faith to Jesus Christ, is the person that has available to him the spiritual mind. And Paul says to be spiritually minded is life in peace. He says something that is very interesting in Romans chapter 8, and that is the idea of setting your minds on the things of the flesh. Look at chapter 8 with me. Let's read verses 5 through 8. You can read along, follow along as I read verses 5 through 8. For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh. But those who live according to the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. So then those who are in the flesh cannot please God. Now what you'll need to understand this, to continue to understand this, are the definitions that we went over last week. So look at the definitions from last week. If you don't have those, you can listen to the message online, and you can take those notes. But those definitions are very important. What does life mean? What does death mean? What does free mean? These are very important terms. Spiritually minded, walking in the Spirit. What does the Spirit mean? And we'll touch on that a little bit more this morning. But have you ever had a bad attitude? Say, mm-hmm. I know you have. Because I have too. What is a bad attitude? Well, define the term attitude. An attitude is a habit of thought. Think of it like a camcorder lens. Okay, we were at a swim meet yesterday. Five of our kids went to a swim meet. All around, you see these doting parents. They have these little cameras up, and they're zoomed in on their child swimming. Now, a habit of thought is kind of like zooming in the camera lens. And say that what you're zooming in on is a negative thing. Something bad is happening, and I don't like it, I'm not happy with it, and I zoom in on it, and I stay focused on that negative thing. What does that produce? A bad attitude. Because what you're doing is you're blocking out everything else that is true and that is happening, and you're blocking out the big picture. And you could think of a bad attitude or habit of thought kind of like train tracks, okay? You know, train tracks like this. And the train goes on those tracks, and wherever those tracks go, the train goes. And your mind is kind of like a train. But you can choose the track. You have that selective power to choose the track that your mind is on. You've had good attitudes too, haven't you? Now the problem with us is when we have a good attitude is usually when everything's going your way. Right? If everything's going my way, I'm having a good attitude. You see, what I'm describing here is the natural man. When things go my way, I'm okay. When things are not going my way, I'm focused on it and I'm having a bad attitude. It's a bad day. Right? But see, the person that is in Christ isn't just limited to those two options. In fact, we're in misery if we are limiting ourselves just to those two options. And this is the contrast that the Apostle Paul makes in terms of being spiritually minded versus carnally minded. So when it says in verse 5, those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh, that is a focused habit of thought. Your mind is in a groove or it's on these tracks, and wherever these tracks go, your mind is going in that direction, and your thoughts, your habits of thought create that attitude, and that attitude creates a behavior, and that behavior turns into a character. That's very important to understand that. You know, What track you set your mind on is your choice. Your attitude is your choice. You know, something that is true in this life. We talked about having a bad day. Hardship is guaranteed, isn't it? But misery is optional. Hardship is guaranteed, but misery is optional. Now, I'm not just sitting here talking about what kind of attitudes we have, because Paul is contrasting. We're letting the text speak. What do you set your mind on? Do you understand that you have the selective power? And if you are in Christ, you have what the Bible calls the capacity to be spiritually minded, which means that even in the adversities of the circumstances of life, you can continue to be focused and moving in a Godward direction. But see, therein, that brings in the conflict between the spirit and the flesh. Because your flesh is screaming at you to focus on the bad things and to give you a bad attitude. But that's being carnally minded. He says, look at verse 6, "For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." So to be carnally minded, he says a few things about it. Look at verse 5. "For those who live according to the flesh set their minds on the things of the flesh." The things of the flesh. What is the flesh? It is inherently self-centered. The flesh is inherently self-centered. And to set your mind on the things of the flesh, you are setting your mind on yourself. What I don't like, or what necessarily pleases me. And therefore, if I am thinking with a carnal mind, I am simply looking at my life, my reality, my circumstances and all in terms of how it relates to me. That's carnally minded. And you're setting your mind on the things of the flesh. The things of the flesh, the carnal mind is emotion and passion driven. You are allowing your emotions to be your compass. Emotions were never intended, they were not given to you to be your compass. They are at best a thermometer. But they're not a good compass. But the carnal mind is to be driven by emotion and passion. It is also self-focused. And therefore it is short-sighted. And therefore, to be carnally minded means that I am consumed with immediate gratification. I want to be happy now. I want to find satisfaction now. And that leads us to distraction. It leads us to abuse. It leads us to being obsessed with immediate gratification. It leads us to being in the same camp as the rich fool of which Jesus spoke about, who hoarded things for himself. He worked hard at it. Yes, he did. But he leaned back and he says, "Now I can be happy. I'm okay. Everything's all right. I'm well taken care of." And God called him what? You fool. He wasted his life. He was successful economically, wasn't he? But he wasted his life. Think about that. Are you wasting your life? If you are carnally minded, if you're simply thinking in terms of what brings pleasure to me and what brings me satisfaction, you're wasting your life. That's being carnally minded. And that's why he says to be carnally minded is death. It is very short-sighted. He also says, look what he says in verse 7, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, nor indeed can be. It is hostile towards God." Why is this hostile towards God? Because the flesh is inherently selfish. That means, who reigns? Who is sovereign? Who rules in your life? Well, if I think I do, if I think I am the greatest and most important reality in my existence, that is inherently hostile towards God. Let me tell you why. Is God going to share his glory with anybody? He is not. Not even you. In your own life. So if you think you are the greatest and most important reality in your life, if your view of hardship and circumstances and things that happen in life are viewed in terms, only in terms of how it affects me, That is self-preeminence. That is hostility against God. Because you are dethroning God. And what happens when I dethrone God, or if I view things only in terms of how they relate to me, instead of thinking in terms of how they relate to His character and His purposes, that makes me self-preeminent. That takes Him off the throne. And there's a problem with that. Because I start thinking that God, even though I know He is the Creator, He is the infinite sovereign one, I start thinking in terms of He gets in the way of my pleasure. He gets in the way of my satisfaction. And I think I'm going to find satisfaction in something more than God Himself. You see, that's hostility towards God. And that is the carnal mind. And the carnal mind will lead us in that direction. Because it's inherently focused upon self. And this is why he says that to be carnally minded is death. Why is that? Now think again. I keep going back to the illustration of the branch. You've got a tree and you've got a branch, and that branch grows out of the tree. That branch is vitally connected to the tree because it draws life. So to be carnally minded is the same thing as that branch cutting itself off from the tree and thinking that it will produce more and better separate from the tree. Doesn't make any sense, does it? Neither does the carnal mind. But for the natural man, that's all he has. But for the spiritual, for the one who is in Christ, for the regenerate person, we then are in Christ, justified in Him. We are His, He is our righteousness. And we then can have the spiritual mind. So let's talk about that. And I really wanted to focus on that this morning. What does it mean to be spiritually minded? Because the title is, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. I want us to really try to understand that. Because it's easy to just kind of read it in Scripture and think about it. It's easy to just kind of say the words, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. But what I always come down to is this. What does that mean? What does it look like? What does it mean to be spiritually minded? How do I do that? And what does it mean by life and peace? Because if I don't recognize how absolutely superior and better it is to be spiritually minded and moving in a Godward direction, then I'm going to be satisfied for these other things that distract me from God. If I don't realize how good the food is at the banquet table, I'm going to be satisfied eating out of a dumpster. That's the contrast between being spiritually minded and being carnally minded. That's the picture that Paul paints. What does it mean to be spiritually minded? This is based on what he says in verse 2, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ, the fact that God promises that He puts His Spirit within us, those of us who have surrendered ourselves in faith to Him. To be spiritually minded, then, is the believer's alternative in Christ. I don't have to be dependent on my emotions. I don't have to be dependent on my passions, my self-focus. I don't have to be dependent on my own wisdom and understanding to make sense out of life. I have a bigger picture. And the believer's alternative is to be spiritually minded. And I want us to understand what that means. That instead of being emotion-driven, self-focused, and short-sighted, we can be biblically informed, Christ-focused, and forward-looking. I was saying, wait, Rich, slow down a little bit. You're going too fast there. That's just an overview. Now, we're going to slow down and unpack that a little by little. First of all, what we need to do is understand what the work of the Holy Spirit is for us. Because God has given us His Holy Spirit. Think about that. If you have surrendered yourself in faith to Jesus Christ, God has said, I will put my Spirit in you. You have within you, if you are in Christ, very God Himself in the person of the Holy Spirit. You know what that is? That's like, wow. We can't grasp that, can we? But we need to. What is the Spirit's work? What did the Lord Jesus say? Look over on the left column there in your notes there. The Spirit's work. Number one, He says, The Lord Jesus said this in John 14 when he was speaking to his disciples and he was introducing to them the helper, the comforter, the one who would come from the Father. And Jesus said, it's necessary for me to go away so that he can come to you. And right there you have the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And Jesus went away, he ascended into heaven, he sits on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Meanwhile, the Holy Spirit is here working in us and through us. God himself has taken up residence in me and you if you are in Christ. That's amazing. What is his work? What does he do? The Lord said in John 14:26, he will guide you into all truth. He will guide you into all truth. That's his work. That's what he does. That's why you have the Holy Spirit. He will guide you into all truth. Secondly, he says in John 16, he will glorify me. Who is me? Jesus Christ. He will glorify me. That's what we were designed for, to glorify him. Because he is the point, because I'm not the greatest and most important reality, he is. So the Spirit will glorify me, Jesus said. That's a very, very important. You find that in John 16:14. And then look a little farther on down in chapter 8. These are excellent verses. Look at verses 16 and 17. John, did I say John? Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, may have to turn over a page or look down a little bit farther. Look at verses 16 and 17. This is the work of the Holy Spirit, okay? The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. The third work of the Spirit in me is that he bears witness that we will eventually, ultimately be what? Glorified with Christ. That is my end. In other words, the role of the Holy Spirit in me is to provide for me the big picture. That the temporal life and physical life that I'm living right now is temporary. A much better life is coming, where I am forever with him, glorified with him, and for me to be glorified means that I am perfectly like Christ, perpetually with him. That's what glorified means. For me to be glorified, and the New Testament speaks often about our glorification. For me to be glorified means to be perfectly like Christ and perpetually with him. The Spirit bears witness to that. So he grants me the big picture. This is the goal in my life. This is what God is taking me towards. I will one day be this, like Jesus Christ and forever with him, glorifying and enjoying God forever. So, if that is the work of the Spirit, then what does it mean to be spiritually minded? If that's what he is doing for us, if that's what he's teaching, then look at the second column there. If he will guide me into all truth, and that means to be spiritually minded, means that my mind is biblically informed. My mind is informed by the revelation of God. What God has made known, the Holy Spirit reveals to me. The Holy Spirit enlightens my understanding so that I can know what God has said, so that I can understand it. Like Paul said to the Corinthians, spiritual things are spiritually discerned. So to be spiritually minded is to be biblically informed. That is the anchor of objective truth. Truth is not subject to my passions and desires. It is the anchor of subjective truth, that which God has made known. Therefore, I can't just go off and say, because I want something, it must be good and okay. No. What is God's revealed truth? What has he made known? So the spiritual mind is first of all biblically informed, because
the Spirit will guide you into all truth. Secondly, because the Spirit will glorify me, the spiritual mind is Christ-focused. Biblically informed and Christ-focused. That is, the anchor of objective truth is the first one. The second one is the attitude of His preeminence. That Christ is, in fact, the greatest and most important reality. That He is the very center, the very core of my existence. And therefore, I perceive everything in terms of how it relates to His character and His purpose. That's Christ's preeminence. That's taking me off the throne. That's putting Christ on the throne where He rightly belongs. That's the spiritual mind. And therefore, when someone treats me in a way that I think I ought not to be treated, or there is a circumstance going on in my life, I don't just perceive it in terms of how it relates to me. I look at it, I perceive it, and I respond to it in terms of how it relates to Christ's character and purpose. That's the spiritual mind. Thirdly, the Spirit bears witness that we will be glorified together. What a profound truth. And if you were to look in Paul's apostles, not Paul, his letters, that was a slip up. If you look at Paul's letters there, okay, what does he say about the Spirit, okay? That the Spirit is our guarantee that we are the Lord's, that we will be glorified together. It says that we are with the Spirit sealed until the day of redemption. That's His ministry. And so, because the Spirit bears witness that we are glorified together, then the spiritual mind is also forward-looking. In other words, you understand and you walk through life and you look at all the circumstances of life instead of being focused on a negative or being focused on a positive and being consumed and passionate about the positive and devoting yourself totally to something temporal. The Spirit, because He bears witness with our spirit that we will be glorified together with Christ, the spiritual mind is forward-looking. I operate in the big picture. Folks, we have to learn this. Because the fleshly mind wants me to be short-sighted. The fleshly mind wants me, the carnal mind wants me to be consumed with immediate gratification. But the spiritual mind understands that being with Christ is far better. The spiritual mind understands that the hardships that we endure now are temporal. They're temporary. This too shall pass. And through them, God is molding me more and more into the image of Jesus Christ. That's the spiritual mind. So to be biblically informed is the anchor of objective truth. To be Christ-focused is the attitude of Christ's preeminence. And to be forward-looking is the aim of being with Him. Behold, what manner of love the Father has lavished upon us that we should be called the children of God, and that is what we are. And it has not yet been revealed what we shall be, but we know that when He is revealed, we shall be like Him, for we shall see Him as He is. And everyone who has this hope in Him purifies himself just as He is pure. Do you know what the power of that is? The aim of being with Him, of being forward-looking, of perceiving life according to the big picture, in the context of the big picture, instead of being short-sighted or focused and obsessed on a particular pleasure or satisfaction. The benefit of that is that we can anticipate Him in our future hope, will bring us to live in the present, moving towards that hope. it does that to us. You know, when we have that hope, when we know which direction we're moving in, and we have that hope. Like, let me give you just a very brief example. When I was 14, any 14-year-olds in here today? 14-year-olds? A few. All right, Ashley's going like this because her birthday is in like a week, so she really doesn't want to admit she'll be 15 in like a week or something like that. But anyway, when I was 14 years old, you want to know what my ambition was? I wanted to join the Marine Corps. I wanted to be like Jeremy. I wanted to be like Sam. I wanted to have those dress blues. When I was 14 years old, I went down to the recruiting station. And he looked at me and he says, "How old are you?" I says, 14. He says, "Listen, go finish school, don't make any trouble, and come back and see us when you're out of school." So I did. I stayed out of trouble and I finished school, but I didn't go back to see him. It's because in 1980, when I was 15, then I went on a summer missions trip and the Lord was working on my heart. And he says, "Rich, that's a good ambition. But for you specifically, I have something different." But when I was that young and I had that anticipation of moving in that direction and being that and having those dress blues, you know, I had this huge poster of this Marine in his dress blues, you know, with that shiny sword on his side. And I had it in my room, and I would salute him every night before I went to bed. Now listen, folks, I'm really burying myself here, okay? So be nice to me. But that was a motive for me, and therefore, looking forward to that, I was careful to be doing the things that would keep me moving in that direction and not distract me from it. But see, that's what happens with our minds and our human heart. When we have this hope and we have the guarantee and the seal of this hope to be spiritually minded is forward looking. And when I am forward looking, not obsessed or distracted with the immediate, but when I am forward looking, then I am living for that. That's powerful. And therefore, I anticipate Him. We can put the scriptures up here, number one up there, that my mind is biblically informed. Consider Psalm 1. "Blessed is the man whose delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." Colossians 3:16, I've said it so many times, "Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly." Is the word of God molding the very way that you think? That's the spiritual mind. At the second one, where it says, "He will glorify me," where the mind is Christ-focused, the attitude is His preeminence. What do I do? My disposition is to please Him. First of all, the disposition up there to be biblically informed, and the anchor is the objective truth, and my disposition is to trust Him. Because attitudes produce behaviors. And if I'm spiritually minded, where I am Christ-focused, having the attitude of His preeminence, then my disposition is to please Him. 2 Corinthians 5:9. And it uses those terms there. We make it our ambition, therefore, is to be pleasing to Him. Colossians 1:18, "That in all things He might have the preeminence." And with a spiritual mind, if I am forward-looking and my aim is to be with Him, then my disposition will be to anticipate Him. I live every moment in anticipation of being in the very presence of Jesus Christ, my Creator and Redeemer. That's profound, isn't it? That's the spiritual mind. And we find that in Colossians 3. "Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth." Keep your eye on the goal. What is that goal? Understand what that goal is. Then the second page here, we're just going to have to run through this very quickly. To walk in the Spirit is to function and walk continually in communion with God. You see, this communion with God is what you were designed to do. You are different from all the rest of creation because you specifically were designed to interact with the Creator, the infinite, sovereign, benevolent Creator. You were designed to interact with Him. Your design is what defines success. If you are functioning according to your design, then you are successful. If there is something in this life that is taking you away from communing with your Creator, it is failure. I can't impress that on you enough. You were designed to commune with God. Doing so is success. Anything that takes you away from that is failure. And so, that's the carnal mind is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. To be spiritually minded means that you know Him and you delight in Him. You knowing Him leads you to delight in Him. Here's my guarantee, right? The more you know God, the more you will delight in Him. I promise that. The more you know Him, the more you will delight in Him. And the more you delight in Him, the more you will love and please Him. It has to come in that order. You see, and that follows the greatest command. To know Him. All right? The greatest command is to love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. To know Him, to delight in Him, to love and please Him. Following that greatest command, then, is the highest function of humanity. To love the Lord your God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength is the highest function of humanity. That's the spiritual mind. Therein is your success, to function according to design. All right, let's look at this. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. First of all, life. This goes back to the definition. I'm not going to spend a lot of time on this because go back to the definition from last week. What does life mean? Life means being connected to the source and living up to potential. The branch is in the tree. Vitally connected to the tree, the branch draws life from the tree and therefore produces successfully. That's life. Connected to the source and living up to potential. That's the biblical nuance of life. Therefore, we must understand and remember what our design is and what defines success. Am I going to be prosperous? Or am I going to have a wasted life like the rich fool? What are the things that distract me? What are the things that can waste my life? What are the things that can become my idol? What are the things that can become my God? What are the things that I can allow to rule my life? Instead of being spiritually minded, I can be carnally minded. I can be obsessed with this immediate gratification. What are they? Think of them. There are things tangible, there are things intangible that you can allow to rule your life and therefore distract you from God and cause you to waste your life. Tangible things can be substances. Are you consumed by a substance? Does it have a mastery over you? How about wealth or physical passions? These are things that can rule your life. Intangible things, the need to be in control. How many of you think you're in control of your life? You see, that's the flesh. The flesh says, I need to be in control. It needs to happen my way or I'm not happy. Now, how many of you think like that? You're dishonest if you're not raising your hand. Because I know. I think that way sometimes too. That's what the flesh is. And you have that battle of the flesh always going on inside of you. I will not be happy unless things go my way. That's the intangible idol, the intangible God of control. And that's why I understand that every Christian is a recovering control addict. Another intangible is what others think. What others think rules my life. That's an idol. It's a false god. You waste your life living for that god. That's not the spiritual mind. That's the carnal mind. Another intangible would be pleasure. Pleasure is my God. I live to have fun. That is the curse of the current young generation. Moms and dads, listen. Teach your children a good, strong work ethic. Just because something isn't fun doesn't mean they shouldn't do it. life isn't about having fun. The generation that's growing up now, the only thing that's been required of them is to have fun. And it's a curse. That is promoting the carnal mind. And we're going to pay for it. When I say we're going to pay for it, I mean the future, next couple of generations. We're going to pay for it. Different soapbox. I won't charge you any extra for that. Okay, there's a difference between prosperous according to God's definition and having a wasted life. The rich fool, remember this, the rich fool was temporally, materially successful. But was he really successful? No, he wasted his life. Because he was not, and this is the terms that Jesus uses, he was not rich towards God. You see, that's the spiritual mind, is the mind that is rich towards God. That is biblically informed, Christ-focused, and forward-looking. I'm going to plow through this piece here real fast, okay? So listen fast and write fast. What is peace? Peace means harmony and prosperity. It is the nuance of a prosperous soul, and you find that in 3 John, where John the Apostle is writing to Gaius, and he says, I hope you're in health as much as your soul prospers. I love that concept. Soul prosperity. The reason peace, what peace is this? Harmony and prosperity is the idea of a prosperous soul. First of all, is rest. The spiritual mind is a person, to be spiritually minded is life and peace. Peace. Rest, not having to control. You can be at rest, not having to control your life and circumstances. I must be a follower and a steward of my God, but I leave the outcome to Him. Be faithful and leave the outcome to God, and there is amazing peace in that life strategy, because that's the spiritual mind. Second, there's cognitive harmony. That's opposed to cognitive dissonance, where I know the right thing, but I'm doing what I know is wrong. Because I just feel like I just can't help myself. That's cognitive dissonance. People battling that all the time. But for the person who is spiritually minded, there is cognitive harmony, meaning I do what I know is right and good and meaningful. And I don't do it just because I have to. I do it because I want to. Thirdly, life makes sense. Life makes sense. Why is that? How can I make sense out of life? Because the Spirit gives me the big picture. My mind is biblically informed. I'm Christ-focused and forward-looking. I know the big picture. I know what's at the end of the road. And I'm going there. And I will be face-to-face with Jesus Christ. And in light of that, I can make sense out of everything else. Because I recognize that this world is fallen and there's a curse on creation. And life makes sense only in the big picture, in spite of hardships and evil. And therefore, I know that hardships are a guarantee, but misery is optional. To be carnally minded is to be miserable. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. How do you like that translation? Fourthly, my life has a sense of purpose and direction versus futility and meaninglessness. Fulfilling your reason is success and satisfaction. So put your mind on track. You have the choice of the track of your mind. You have the choice of attitude. What track is your mind on? What is your attitude? Are you carnally minded or are you spiritually minded? To be carnally minded is to be driven by passions and emotions, to be self-focused and short-sighted. To be spiritually minded is to be biblically informed, Christ-focused, and forward-looking. Which track are you on? As a believer in Christ, you have the alternative to be spiritually minded, and therein is life and peace. God bless you as you move in that direction, because it's wonderful.